You're entering the Creative Soul Lab with Shari D. Teigman, resident soul explorer, transformational coach, and sparkle maker. Tune in weekly for a blend of soul chats with thought leaders, entrepreneurs, everyday rock stars, and Shari musings about finding your spark and passion in life and business. We explore how creativity and passion drive success and fulfillment and light up every aspect of who you are and what you do. Welcome to another episode of the Creative Soul Lab. Today I have a really cool mate, as we were just talking. I have James Tu on. James is a young dad of four girls. He founded A Dad's Mission for Success after a number of years of spinning his wheels, trying to build his business. Recently moving to a video show, James creates value for dads and parents. So as everyone knows, I hate the stuffy bio thing, and James's personality is, I'd say, just about big as mine. So he has so much more packed in there than those little couple of sentences. So welcome to the show, James. And now we can like really dive in to the who and what makes you who you are.
Yeah. And now we can get real, right? Like,
obviously,
that's what people want to hear. They don't want to hear this bio stuff.
I know I don't want to hear the bio stuff, but I feel boring, right? Like, yeah. I feel responsible to let people know who's on the line before we get to the end of the show and I give you the website, but.
What are you telling me? They don't already know me? Like, come on, guys. I mean,
for those three people in the world who haven't yet been hit by the YouTube sensation that James is, I figured I would just not make any assumptions because it is a big world and make it sure is. No one felt left out.
Yeah, I completely understand. No, thanks for having me on, Shari. It's, you know, it's, what do we got? 23:13. So 11:13 on a Friday night here. Like I said, I just mentioned it on Facebook. I was pumped up. I've been listening to Spotify. I've been listening to a little bit of Disclosure and Sam Smith, drinking a couple of Australian beers, getting ready for this, been watching the football. So I'm a little hyped up, if anyone can tell in the voice, but thanks for having me on, mate. It's
my pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm really excited. I've been watching you. You know, we have a lot of friends in common and we're in some groups together, and I love watching. I see that James posts a video, I hop right on. I'm already laughing before it starts. And I just love what you're about. So when I love what you're about, I like to talk to people. When I don't, I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my show. I get to make that choice.
Walk. See you later.
Exactly. If only we had that button in real life.
Yes.
So tell me, we know that you are on a dad's mission. And I just love it because I'm a mom and I'm on a mom mission. How did you get to this dad's mission? How did this come about?
Well, you see, Shari, when a man and a woman love each other very, very much. So my story in a nutshell is I went overseas and did a gap year instead of finishing year 11. I did year 11. I didn't finish year 12. I went overseas. And that was really the beginning of this, right? Like, I guess that was sort of the beginning of the journey. Went overseas, lived in Germany for a year. And I got cultured, some would say. Cultured in the art of beer drinking because it is
an art. Yes.
Yeah, it is, right? Like, you got to be able to put down a couple of liters of beer. But anyway, so, you know, that was sort of the beginning, right? Like, that sort of set me on a path to destruction. Right. It, you know, I would come back and on the weekends, I was 17, 18, right? So it's sort of be expected. You know, we have a drinking age of 18 here, not 21 like the US. And, you know, I'd sit there on the weekends with friends and, you know, you drink like 24 beers, right? And it's just a destructive path. So I was on a bad path. And then one day, a friend of mine is like, I'm going to join the Navy. I was like, oh shit, yeah, I can do that. No worries. I'm going to do that too. And everyone just laughed at me. They're like, you're a complete idiot, right? It's not going to happen for you. You'll never do it. You'll never get in. So I got in. 7 years later, I'm still there. And then I was like, well, you know, there has to be more to life than just working and paying bills. And this was right before, just after my third daughter was born. And I was like, there has to be more and more to life.
Yeah.
Right. Like I don't want to look back at 60. You know, I'm 27 with four daughters. Wow. And, you know, some people might look at that and go, oh, you're so young to have that many kids. I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
Exactly. Right?
Like, you know, at 46, 47, 48, you know, I'll be a grandfather. I'll be able to enjoy my grandkids. And I want to work my ass off to get to that point where, you know what, if I want to take a couple of months off and go and babysit the grandkids, yeah, sure. No worries. You know, like, that's the point I want to get to. You know, so that was sort of a light bulb moment for me. I was like, you know, there has to be more to life. Why do we just wake up? We go to the same 9 to 5. We just pay the same bills. We just, you know, go through the motions. There has to be more to it. And by that point, you know, I'd been listening to podcasts for a while. Like I'd seen the rise of John Lee Dumas and Entrepreneur on Fire. I'd seen, you know, Pat Flynn take over. I'd seen like Amy Porterfield come in. I'd seen all these other guys like just dominate this online space. And I sort of figured out that like Viagra sales wasn't the only way to make money online. You know, like,
sure, it's yeah. worth a shot, right?
Yeah, right. Like I sell Viagra pills. I'm pretty good at selling. But yeah, so like maybe a couple of years ago, I think beginning 2014, I started taking this stuff seriously. Right, I've been blogging for a while. 2014, I took this stuff seriously. You know, I always wanted to go to a social media conference. I'm going to put one on. Everyone's like, oh yeah, good on you, James. Another James joke. Right. And in 8 weeks, I planned and executed a conference that had 100 people show up. I made a couple of grand.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? This stuff is real. Can I drop a couple of curse words in this or should I?
Prerequisite, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I slap up the E automatically.
Yeah. This shit is real, right? Like this stuff can happen. This stuff can change people's lives. And that was the bug. So since then, that was May 2014. Since then, I've been chasing shiny objects, and you've seen the video I put up yesterday.
I was cracking. Right? When you did the shiny object little jig, I was cracking.
Yeah, and I mean that's sort of like my style, right? Like chasing the shiny object, and I'll send you an Instagram link, and it's got that little short clip on there, so people can sort of like get the joke. But you know, I was spinning my wheels. I was like, you know, what am I going to do? What do I want to be known for? When people discuss James Chu, what do they say? Do they say he's just some larrikin who just like drinks beer and watches footy? No, I want more for my life, and I want more for my kids. I want my kids to look back, you know, when I die and say, you know, dad had a great life, right? But it took 2 years, well, you know, almost 2 years, right, to get to this point now. And in the last 6 weeks, everything's just, it's, you know, like the C parts. Yes. And you just see like the end, or you see like your vision, you see your meaning. The last 6 weeks has been that for me. You know, I made a video on a whim. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make a video. And the reason I wanted to make a video is because I felt it expressed my personality better. Audio is great. Blogs are great. But video, I think, is just my thing. And in the last 6 weeks, I've produced, I think it's like 11 or 12 videos. I try and produce 2 a week. I had a week break because I had my fourth daughter in between there. Tell me about it. Right. but yeah, I produce 2 videos a week. And now like I'm super crystal focused on what I want. Like I want to help entrepreneurs build relationships and grow the courage and confidence to build their brand with video. That's me in a nutshell. That's what I want to achieve. And that is what I'm going to do from this point forward. Like nothing else matters to me. Apart from family, like I'm talking this sort of stuff, right? Like crystal clear focus. And that's what I want to do. And you know, I got crystal clear focus on that. I saw entrepreneur.com was looking to grow their YouTube channel. I reached out to them. They asked me to be a content partner. Oh. I became a content partner. And now my videos get shared across the Entrepreneur YouTube channel, entrepreneur.com YouTube channel, and Facebook pages. You know, like, yeah, right? Like, and it's all from, like, I try to explain it to my non-businessy, and I put this in quotation marks, non-businessy friends who just think the internet is good for Facebook and porn.
Yes, and which it is.
Yeah, of course it is. It wouldn't exist if it wasn't.
Right.
But you try to explain it, you're like, you know, like, I got up at 4:30 this morning. Now, this is today for me. I got up at 4:30 this morning to speak to a YouTube guy who's got 120,000 subscribers. We spoke for half an hour at 5. Who's like, oh my God, you got up at 5 o'clock to talk to me? I was like, yeah, that's, you know, no issues, right? And then at 9:30, I had another call. I worked the whole day and now I sat down, watched the football, and now we're talking here. It's like, you know, 11:20 now. And I'll probably go to like 1 a.m. and do it all again tomorrow, right? That's because it's just passion, right?
That's exactly what it is. I said, James, if I could put you on a shelf as like exhibit A of what I believe in, you would be on that shelf, obviously with beer next to you because, you know, it's boring up there. But
yeah, we need to hold hands.
There's so many nuggets in what you just said that I have to go back and go in there. The fact that you were like this young guy who had a vision and didn't just say, oh, I had a vision because it was a drunk night and I just left it. And then the other thing is so many people, I was a young mom. I had my first kid at 24, my second kid at 26. See, to you, you took it as seeing your mortality in having kids so young, saying, yeah. I don't want to just trudge along. I have, well, now you have eight pairs of eyes watching every step you take and learning that about the world, where so many other people in the world will get stuck in that, having a kid at 22, 20, whatever it is, and then they get on that old man, old woman track because they think they have to be responsible and that's it. But you did the opposite, and I do the opposite, and that's just passionate people will always do the opposite, even when handed the regular papers. You know, we will always make it into a paper airplane, fold it funny in our pocket, scrunch it up and throw it in the garbage. The fact that you took that and said, oh, wait a second, I have a legacy to build, and right now, not when I'm 60, or, you know, I have so many guys and girls in their 20s, 30s, who they're just still doing the traveling, still doing the drinking, thinking they're free, not understanding that they're free till the shackles of what they think they're supposed to do land in their 40s and they have kids later, or they don't. And like, they just lead miserable lives because they never bothered trying. They never jumped in, where they stayed on the outskirts. Right. And they stay on the outskirts of not starting, wandering the world, which is amazing. But their quote unquote freedom in their mind is really their fear of stepping into what's possible for them. So they just don't do anything.
Exactly. And it's the fear of getting started, right? Like, I was interviewed by a guy, Douglas Lim, out of Perth, Western Australia. And, you know, I said the same thing, right? You know, we get to a point where it's like fight or flight, right? And for us who are doing this stuff, right? And a lot of people who go the traditional route, like, I'm not trying to detract anything from people who go the traditional route. I think it's, you know, has merits. You know, and I'm certainly, you know, I'm actually studying a master's in communication right now, which I got into based on all this social media stuff and everything that I've done. Like, I don't have an undergrad degree to get into a master's degree, but all this social media stuff has allowed me to get into that. And I recognize the importance of having that because, yes, in traditional society, which we still live in, it does still carry some weight. It does still say, you know, James has a master's degree in communication, therefore, you know, he must know what he's talking about. Well, holy shit, you know, if I've been able to build 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is like my goal for the end of 2016. If I can build 100,000 subscribers by the end of 2016, I think that carries more weight than the traditionalist society view of having a degree and getting a 9-to-5 job and working 40 years.
Yeah.
Because it's my own freedom. It's my own desire. And it takes so much more for a person to wake up every single morning and hustle their ass off to get to the point that they want, they can look back at 60 or 70 and not have to worry about the bills, not have to worry about, you know what, shit, we're going to go to the US this week because we don't like winter in Australia, right? We're going to go hang out and just surf in Hawaii. Like, that's the point I want to get to.
Yes.
When me and my wife don't have any worries about this, my kids don't have any worries. Oh, my kids want to go to uni? No worries, guys, go to uni. Stop worrying about bills. We got it, all right?
Yeah, but I love it because you're doing it what regular society would say is backwards, but it's the opposite. Rather than doing the schooling and then coming out wet behind the ears, having no idea how to cross the street by yourself, but with a piece of paper that says you have all this information logged in your head and then not knowing what to do with it, it's not as though you're rebelling against society. You're fueling from your passion and deciding where each step takes you. So other people will come to the US because they don't like winter because they're escaping something. You will do it because you're making a choice for your life and quality of life and what you believe life is supposed to be. It's just, it's so awesome. You know, the other thing is you and I are similar in the sense that we don't really give a crap what anyone thinks, but
exactly.
It's a hard balance of people thinking, oh, they're rebels. They don't give a crap. They don't care. Why didn't she get dressed up for that video? Why is she so casual on her interviews? And it's off-putting to some people. And look, I do coaching and copywriting. And for me in both fields, if I don't repel as many people as I attract, I shouldn't show up that day. It's not worth it. Like, I have to piss an equal amount of people off. I prefer pissing off more people, but that's just my little spin on it. But like, If my way can't get someone's attention, not because I want attention, but because I'm trying to light something up in them, then I didn't say anything and I should just stay home and not do anything. But the point is you and I both take that that's our natural personality. You've probably been like this since you're 5 years old. I know I have, and realize, wait, there's a way people can hear me in a different way. And I love that you changed it to video for that exact reason. I had this incident happen. I don't think I spoke about it. I'm not sure if I talked about it on my podcast yet, but it was massive for me. So I've been in the online world about a year, year and a half. And I'm in a lot of like female entrepreneur groups. And there's this one woman who's also, she's like a business coach, more like that masculine hustle goal setting. She's awesome. Very different vibe than I am. But like about leadership, and I really respect her. And we've rolled in a lot of the same circles. To me, I would say she knows me well. I jumped on a blab with a couple of other people 2 weeks ago to talk about podcasting and getting your voice out there and all that. And she's on the blab, and she types in, "Shari, I thought you were an introvert." Okay, James, I've been called a lot of things in my life. Introvert is not one of them. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I've been online. I write copy. I get my voice out. I never shut up. Every post is like this. She still had no idea who I was because it was still all written. Even through pictures, oh my God, video's the way. That's where your personality comes. That's how you grab. I don't care what you're selling, what you're teaching, what you're doing. It still comes back to heart connection, regardless of technology, regardless of where you are in the world and your culture. If you want to connect to someone, it's got to go right in. And video's the way in, because like we said, you'll either repel or you'll grab them, but they'll remember you either way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is 100% why my mission statement has build relationships.
Yeah.
Because without relationships, without being able to say, "Hey Shari, can I jump on your podcast? Can I be a guest on your podcast?" Right? And that's exactly what happened here. For everyone who's listening, I messaged you and said, "Hey, can I come on your podcast?" And you know, that for me is a deliberate for me, right? This is in everything I do, I try and have a deliberate step. Like, what is the end goal? What am I trying to achieve? If I do X, right? Like, if I make a move, what is this going to achieve for me? Is this at the end goal? Is this, you know, because for so long, and if anyone takes anything away from this, it is be deliberate. Everything you do in life, be deliberate. Have an end goal. You might not know what that looks like right now, but you sure as shit know what you want your life to look like. And from that picture, you can build back the steps that you need to make these deliberate steps to get there. For me, like, my end goal is financial and location freedom, right? Like, I want to be able to live anywhere in the world that I want, not have to worry about cash, and be able to enjoy my family.
Yeah.
That's the three things: enjoy family, location, and financial independence, right? So what are the steps that I need to take today to get to that point? Be that in 12 months, be that in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, who the shit knows. But if I keep moving forward, right, 10%, if you take 10%, if you move 10%, 10 times, that equals 100%. So if you keep moving forward, no matter what, one foot after the other, if you are so tired, if you are exhausted, if you're saying, "Shit, I don't want to get up and do a 5 a.m. interview." Well, you know what? The person who does get up and do that 5 a.m. interview is going to be successful. And you're not, because you are not willing to work. You are not willing to have that tenacity, that resilience in your mind, and also just build the relationships that is going to allow you to succeed.
It's yes, 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 and yes. And the other thing is,
before we go, I'm putting in like 180% here, because in your last podcast, you called out and you said Adrian was going to be the best guest you have on the show, regardless of who you interview. I purposely went back and listened to this episode because I saw the fact that you're like, "Oh, you know, she's my mentor." And I was like, "You know what? Bullshit. This is not going to be your best interview. I'm going to come in here and I am going to make sure that this..." Yeah. So Adrian, if you're listening to this, I don't know you personally, and this is...
Challenge on, Adrian.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm calling you out. All right. And this... I am going to give your audience is going to walk away from this and go, "Holy shit, I can't listen to another episode."
I love it. You just ruined my whole damn podcast. Thanks a lot, James. That's just awesome. I've been doing this a month and I have 30 episodes batched and you just screwed up my whole thing. You're awesome.
So what's our next project? Yeah, you're welcome. Let's move on. Podcast.
Exactly. Next. Now we have a video show. You know what's so amazing, of course, everything that you just said, and I feel like you like say it and then I'm coming back like to scoop up the goodness to disseminate into the crowd. What's awesome about what you just said is right there, you just nailed why goals are important and also why goals don't matter. Because goals matter for the bigger picture. They don't matter for the day-to-day other than the fact that it keeps you on track. So if you set a goal and you stay tied to it, nothing happens. You pull the plug on your own magic because you're so tied up in what the hell you wrote on the piece of paper about your to-do list. If you don't get to number three, the whole day's crap. Well, that's...
And you're so overwhelmed, right?
Yes. Like, and then you shut down and you're frustrated. Yeah. And this guy said no. And now my whole plan is gone. Your point is keep your, which is, I agree 1,000%, your bigger, massive life goals stay up front. What can I do today to get closer to that? And to me,
what is your why?
Yeah, and your intention about getting to that is what the goal of the day is. So by setting your intent, you already won. What the result is from that scary email you sent to collaborate with someone and they ignored it, or an interview was crappy, or a client didn't sign up for the program you wanted to, it doesn't matter because then it wasn't meant to be. Then those layers just shed off the side of the road and they also turn you to where you want to go. Had audio worked for you and you took that road, you never would have discovered video. Had your daughter not been born and you didn't take that week off, this entrepreneur.com thing may not have happened. Like you got
to probably be drinking.
which is fine because sometimes the hustle's just important as the rest.
Exactly.
They both work well. It's about using the fuel and then taking a break and reassessing and going. But like, it's reconnecting to that why. You know, this stuff sounds so trite. We say it over and over again. But once you start living it and you look back, you're like, oh my God, this crap works. This is exactly what I knew I should do. I only read 12 books about it in six different languages. Wow, there is something to this. But I think you and I are doers. We have to try. We have to get our hands in the mud, see what it feels like. If I just watch on the sidelines, I go invisible to myself.
Yes.
And then I don't have anything to say anymore. And then I don't have anything to create. And that's, to me, the worst day of my life.
Yeah. And look, I probably took like 2 months off the beginning of this year. I think it was like from March through to like June maybe, or April through June, because I was pissed off. Right? Like nothing had gone my way. And I was so angry. I was like, you know, I've been working so hard. And you know what? At that time, I was lying to myself. I hadn't been working that hard. You know, I'd been taking the easy route. I'd be like, oh, you know what? I'll send a couple of emails, write a blog post and blah. Like I hadn't been putting any effort. Be like, you know what? There's a new episode of The Last Ship out on Netflix. I'm just going to chill out and watch that. Or, you know, oh, my kid is crying. That's another excuse. I was making excuses. And I think we get to a point where we're like, yeah, things haven't gone my way. And it's easier to make excuses. It's easier to say, you know what, I'll do it tomorrow. It's easier to say, you know what, you know, I'll just cancel that 5 a.m. interview. But that's not going to make you the person that you want to be. The person who you want to be is going to be the person who gets up at 5 a.m., the person who doesn't sit down and watch The Last Ship on Netflix, who doesn't just hang around and drink beer all day. You're the person who sits down at his desk, works, and drinks beer and listens to some sick beats on Spotify because he's pumped up for interviews like this.
Yeah, and you know, that's a perfect thing is knowing your triggers, the ones that self-sabotage you and the ones that motivate you, and use them over and over and over again and reinvent them over and over and over again. The same thing that worked for you in the James you were 2 months ago won't work for you anymore because you're not the same person. And I don't think people understand what the course correction of that means. Crank open the bigger container and find the bigger game for yourself, even because the self-sabotage will get bigger as well as the wins will get bigger. So you can't use your old tools. You have to keep upgrading for yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Amazing. What would you tell people? You know, we naturally think like this. So what happens is lots of people who I find podcasting to be a massive self-care item. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to start one, because if I grab somebody by the face mask for 35 minutes while they're walking their dog or, you know, drudging on their commute and I change their perspective for 35 minutes, my day's made. So to me, people give themselves the opportunity to hear conversations they may not be ready to hear. So I can see someone from the outside listening to the two of us with our passion. You know, I'm a New Yorker. I'm a little Jewish girl. My hands are flapping and it's an audio only video. So it's
I'm screaming at my, like, honestly, if I had a webcam set up, like if I had the bandwidth, I'd do all my interviews in webcam because I'm like,
I'm the same way.
I'm always punching my iMac.
Exactly. Like I'm amazed. I haven't, it's real skill to not knock the microphone over by my flailing. So I can see someone from the outside listening and saying, well, of course we rock because, you know, we're really good. We love what we do. And it's a great interview and there's a lot of passion. And they sit on their train to work saying, oh, I wish I had that in me.
Yeah.
I can't because I don't have that in me. What would you tell the audience or people that you work with, people that you motivate, someone like who you're speaking to when you turn that video camera on? How do you start? How, when this is not your natural personality because you believe that, how does one change from being on the outside to stepping into their own spotlight?
Well, great question, right? This is probably the question I get the most. A lot of people say to me, how do you have the confidence to just speak to a camera? You know what? It's a piece of freaking plastic. Now, I'm speaking to plastic and glass. Now, I'm not speaking to anyone else. What happens with the video once I produce it? You know what? You know, that's a different story, right? That's like an internal thing. You've got to have the courage, and right, and that's why I say courage and confidence. I want to work with people to build the courage and confidence. Having been in the military for over 7 years. That's all we have. You know, you think about, when you think about military, they run towards the fight. And that's what I want to help people instill. Now, the way that I've been able to do that is unique for me because I've been through that military process. But the way that I encourage people to do this sort of stuff is pick a group, like pick a mentor, you know, and it doesn't, I mean, yeah, I would suggest someone that you know and that you can reach. You know, I know of people who would say like, oh, you know, Lewis Howes has been my mentor. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Have you ever spoken to him? No, he hasn't, right? Like, I would just say that someone who influences who you are and someone who sort of like influences your mindset and your goals. I'm talking like a mentor that's going to get on the phone with you for an hour, you know, sort of like probably me or you, who's going to get on the phone and just challenge everything you tell me. Mm-hmm. Like if you tell me, oh, James, you know, I can't go on camera because of this, I'll be like, why? And then be like, oh, because of this, oh, why? And I'll ask you why 5 times. And I guarantee you will run out of excuses unless there's a legitimate reason, like your half your freaking face is missing. If half your face is missing, still got on camera because you'll go viral.
Oh, but, come on. You'll inspire many more people than if you have a whole face.
Yeah. I mean, look at Zach Anna.
Everyone has a whole face.
Well, I mean, look at Zach Anna. This guy's got like muscular dystrophy or whatever it is. Or, you know, like, and he's a YouTube sensation. And I saw a video of him the other day, and I'll send you the link if I can find it. Someone said, oh, Zach, you know, he does a workout Wednesday as like a piss take. And someone's like, oh, Zach, why don't you get on a treadmill? And you know what? He got on a treadmill and he walked on a treadmill for like his entire video. I think it went for like 6 minutes.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, this is a guy who's in a wheelchair.
Amazing.
And he can still do something. What the hell is stopping you? You know, and I think that's the bigger picture, right? How bad do you want something? If you want something so bad that you wake up at 1:30 in the morning and you're like, oh my God, I need to go and write this down. Like I mean, I have my phone and I have a notebook next to my bed, right? And so like the other morning, I wake up at 1:30 in the morning because I had an idea. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think my daughter had actually been awake and I'd sort of heard her and my wife was feeding her or something. But, you know, like I had an idea. So the first thing I did was get up. I walked up, grabbed a glass of water, and I wrote down my idea. You need to find something that you're so passionate, you believe in so heavily, that it wakes you up at 1:30 in the morning with an idea, and you need to get up and write that idea down because you know it's going to change someone's life.
Yep. And you know, the step even before that is searching for something that would wake you up.
Well, yeah.
You don't have to know what it is because everyone, the immediate response is, yeah, but I don't have anything like that. Well, that's because you
haven't been
looking for excuses. So we can all find whatever we're looking for.
Yeah, and I didn't have that either, right? For the longest time, I think, like, if I scroll back through Facebook back to probably 2012, 2013, you know, I asked people, right? I saw these things on, like, you know, just ask your circle of friends what you're so good at. And I asked them, and they were like, you're good at sucking dick, man. Like, taking the absolute piss.
Yep.
Right? And it took me this long. I started blogging in 2011 when my four-year-old daughter was born. I started blogging in 2011 when a friend asked me to be his marketing manager, like marketing guy for his startup. And I was freaking terrible at writing. I had no formal qualifications writing. I was a high school dropout. I hadn't achieved anything, and I couldn't write. But do you know what? I listened to podcasts, and I learned, and I kept learning. And by proxy of learning, and I'm not talking like university learning, because that's like a hierarchy, critical thinking learning. I'm talking about learning.
Shuts you down.
Yeah, right. I'm talking about something you're passionate in. You know, it could be freaking basket weaving for all I care.
Agreed.
Right. But if you're so passionate, if you wake up and you're like, you know, I'm going to go listen to the podcast, the number one podcast in basket weaving on iTunes. You're like, okay, no worries. Like, good on you. But you're passionate about it. If you're doing this in your spare time, if you're listening to it on the train, if you're listening to it at the gym, if you're listening in your car, you obviously have something deep inside of you. You just need to unlock that. We just need to find that nugget, that little spark, right? That little shiny object. We'll find that by working with someone like a mentor, someone you can talk to, someone who can ask you why, cut through your shit and move you forward. That is how you find the thing that you're passionate about. That is how, and then the rest of it will fall into place, right? The rest of it will come. You will figure it out. You will talk to people like Shari and I. You will get into groups like the Online Creators Launchpad. You will get into other groups and you will talk to people. You'll see what other people are doing. You'll learn from it. You'll trial. You'll test it. You'll fail. You'll learn the lessons. You'll have tantrums. Your emotions will be running high. You'll be sick of it. You'll give up. You'll love it. You'll quit. You'll freaking cry. But it will work out. If you are so passionate about something and you have that desire, you have that desire for life to live an abundant life, to have fun, right? It's all about fun. Like, the reason I put humor in my videos is so that people can look at it and they go, oh, that guy's an idiot, right? But for that like couple of seconds or that minute or the 3 minutes that I make the video, it distracts people. It gives people like happiness. It makes people laugh, makes people smile, because when we smile, the rest of the world is infected. If you smile at someone, I think that people have done studies on this. If you smile like a certain amount of people or whatever, like it's infectious and people will feel better or some shit.
Yes, except in New York, where you'll probably get stabbed because they think there's something wrong with you.
Okay, don't do it in New York.
Everywhere but New York. It's a big world out there. So go somewhere else and smile.
I agree,
interesting. You used to use the example of like a Lewis Howe, who's awesome. And I love him. And I love his podcast. And
great just content.
Pre-ordered.
Amazing
content. Yeah. Pre-ordered. But it's the same thing. So many people will just watch and observe and think, oh, I do self-development. No, you watch self-development. You don't do anything. You sit and talk about what you're not going to do or what you can't do. And James and I are both the same kind. Like, we go in the trenches with you. We ask like a five-year-old is with you, but why? But why? But why? Help you connect the dots.
What are you doing?
Exactly. Why do you do that? What drives you? What are the patterns? What are you looking for? What lights you up? And like for me, I do a lot of art with my clients, like nothing to do with artistic. It doesn't matter what the picture looks like, but creativity is the doorway into your passion. So it's not about what the picture looks like, but if you can look outside of yourself onto a canvas or piece of paper about what you believe in colors and textures and physical feeling, you can pop open that box you climbed into that you can't seem to notice you're in.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yes.
And
yes.
Also, right, like, also, like, I'll add on to that, right? If you can make fun of yourself,
you
can poke fun of yourself, and you can put that on a freaking video, and you can have like 1,800, 2,000 people view that, and you calling yourself fat or you making fun of yourself and laughing it off, and in, you know, for the good of other people, right? And I've done that. You're home and hosed, man. Like, so if you can make fun of yourself and be comfortable with people laughing at that joke, you are so comfortable in your skin. Who gives a shit what other people think?
Yeah, and you just make room. You make room for the mistakes because you want to make mistakes. People are so afraid of moving an inch out of their comfort zone. They don't feel anything anymore. They're like, oh, well, it's going to hurt. Well, you feel nothing right now. So wouldn't you rather hurt a little bit to move through it? I know it's, yes, I'm not belittling the fact that it's scary, but to me, it's more scary to stay stuck and numb and living a groundhog day, bored out of your mind, living by fear, telling you the same ridiculous story day in and day out. It doesn't mean anything. It's not living. You want your, and we both have kids and had kids young. we've got eyes watching us. Like I said before, if I want to screw up my own life on my own, that's my choice, but not when little people are watching me to learn what to do. No way.
Exactly. Right. And like my 9-year-old daughter the other day asked me when the next episode of my videos were coming out.
Oh,
nine-year-old daughter, right? She subscribes to me on YouTube.
I love it. I walked into my kid's room the other day and I heard them listening.
So I've
got 13 and 16-year-old boys. I was like, I just overrid their music. I couldn't not get over it. And it was like, I did it. Even if they have no idea what I'm talking about, I did it. I did it. Yeah. I proved to myself that I'm more than who I thought I was. And that alone was my biggest win.
That's like ultimate validation.
Yeah.
For your kids at 13, 16, at nine, saying, you know, when's your next thing coming out? When is your, you know, and I am a big believer in like qualitative, like validation. You know, quantitative is great. You see the numbers converting, you see the numbers, you know, the audience retention's increasing and all that sort of shit. But you know what? Fuck that shit. If you were starting from fresh, when I created my first video, right? And this is the power of video. Video is my thing and that's my chosen thing. But and I'll talk to that, and I can talk to a lot of other stuff. I can talk to the emotions behind that shit as well. But the first video I created was one about how do you find out what people really want. That was my very first video. And this was a trick I think I picked up of like Noah Kagan from AppSumo. Mm-hmm. Of like, I remember him saying on a podcast ages ago, I think it might've been Pathlands. And it was like, you know, if you want to find out what people truly want, go to Kindle store on Amazon and read the 3-star reviews for all the books.
Love that.
Right? Like, because, and then people in that, say, you know what, it's a great start, but, and then to go into that, copy and paste the stuff that people are saying that they don't like for those particular books, put in a spreadsheet, find your common threads, solve those problems. You know, I had so many people say like, oh, just go to forums and see what people are whinging about. Well, forums are there's too many freaking forums.
Yeah, then you're go right into your squirrel brain and then talk about getting overwhelmed. You're like, it's all of the things.
Yeah. What are people missing? Yeah, you know, life, sex, everything. Happiness, money. You know, but so you go to I set the challenge, right? I'm setting the challenge for your audience, Shari. Everyone who wants to do this, email me, hello@jameschu.me.
Love it.
Go into your industry, go into your niche or industry, whatever you call it, anywhere in the world, you know, there's so many names for this stuff. Go into that, find the top 50 books for that particular industry. Read all the 3-star reviews, or at least like the top 20 3-star reviews, because I think they can get upvoted or some stuff. And then find the common threads. Email me with the common problems you have identified, and I will work with you. I will give anyone who emails me, I'll give them half an hour of my time, and I will help them identify how to solve those problems.
You're awesome.
Do that, listeners.
That's a great, it's just so true, because it's like, and that's a perfect example of people can't handle when they're haters or they're naysayers. That's where the juice is. It's not personal. It's everyone's own crap that you're tapping. So if you want to have an impact, get ready to tap. You're tapping shit in people. And you got to crack the everyone clapping for you. That's so awesome. You're so good at what you do. And they don't do anything.
Yeah.
You're not helping anybody by agreeing with them.
I did a video about this and you probably saw it. The last one I did was the importance of honest support. I'm really lucky. My wife is quite happy to tell me that my stuff is shit. Straight up. That's terrible. You're
good. It's built in. It's built in help.
Yeah. Right. And you know, I specifically said in that video, don't trust people who are close to you, because people who are close to you will sugarcoat that. It could be the worst thing in the world. And also the people who are close to you probably don't understand what you are doing.
Yes.
Right? So go and find people like Shari, go and find people like me, go and find groups where you could, excuse me, that was the beer coming up, but go and find people that you can connect with offline. I'm so passionate. The bubbles.
I love you. It's like, bubbling over.
It's so strong. Go and find the people that you can get on a Zoom call. You can get on a Skype call. What is half an hour of your time? Like, this is what I have, you know, I ask people, you know, the only people who can charge me half an hour of their time for like $230 are like the people who make millions and millions of dollars a year. And then, you know, if they said, oh, you owe me $230 one time, I'd tell them to go get stuffed.
Exactly.
Because I think Gary Vaynerchuk talked about this, like why he keeps doing the smaller interviews all the time. Why does he keep doing small interviews? People ask him all the time, Gary, you're so massive. Why do you keep doing small interviews? He goes, because the small people freaking matter.
Yeah.
So go and find the people who are going to give you honest feedback. Go and find the people who are going to say, you know what, James, your stuff is actually really, really crap and your jokes aren't funny. I think you should do this. And then you find someone else who's going to give you feedback and you find the same thing as the Amazon thing. Find common threads, piece it together like a freaking jigsaw puzzle. Go back, rethink your strategy. Go back, rethink your way forward, because your end goal doesn't change, right? Your life goal doesn't change. How you get there can change all the time. You can pivot thousands, millions of times. It doesn't matter, but your end goal is still the same. And whatever that is, you deserve it because everyone deserves to be successful.
1,000%. And again, as we said from the beginning, it's not about you. It's not about you if it's a good day, and it's not about you if it's a bad day. If you really are showing up because you want to have an impact on the world and get out of your tiny little mind to do something bigger, then you have to put your ear to the ground and see what it sounds like to other people. Otherwise, you're talking to yourself.
Always ask what is in it for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why should people listen to you? Why should people watch your video? Why should people subscribe to your podcast? What's in it for them?
Yeah. And then it even helps you with content creation. You know,
yes, exactly.
I don't know what to say. Well, stop thinking from your own head. Don't ask yourself what to say. That's not where the answer is.
Yeah. People ask me, like, how do you come up with ideas for the groups? Well, you know what? I just ask a question in a group on a topic that I think would be okay. And I ask a topic like, where do you find support mechanisms, or what do you struggle with when finding support or whatever? And people answer, and these are random groups, like not the regular ones that I visit, like the Online Creators Launchpad.
Yes.
Or like other ones that people know who I am, because I'm very vocal in talking to people and making videos for them. But anyway, like I go to random groups. I find, like, I'm a business owner in Australia. Oh, yes. Good on you, mate. Like, I jump in there and say, what's the number one thing you're struggling with today? And people jump in there and chime in and go, I just don't know where to find my next client. I'm like, well, shit, have you started looking for them?
Yes. Do something. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't just come to you, friend. And you know what? You just get out there. This is the best thing, right? You're in New York, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm in Canberra, Australia, the nation's capital. You say Canberra and people are like, oh, where's that, man?
Yes.
It's between Sydney and Melbourne, and it's where our parliament and our government runs from. Granted, they're sort of a bit backwards sometimes, but anyway. We can connect over this stuff.
Yeah, and we have more in common than people we each grew up with our entire lives.
And this is
who know everything about us. Well, they think they know everything about us. Exactly.
Right? Like, and this is the best thing about this. You can be so creative. You can be anything you want in this world right now. 2015 is so freaking exciting. If I'm a 27-year-old guy of four girls, right, I should be worried. I'd be like, I've got four weddings to pay for. I've got four university debts to pay for. You know what? Fuck that shit. I am here to make my mark on the world. And if I can transform one person who listens to this podcast, if I can have one person to email me, you know what, James, I'm taking up your new challenge to find the thing and how I'm going to find my thing and solve my thing. And I want 30 minutes of your time. If I can do that, if one person's email me, I have done my job today.
Yeah. You woke up for a reason and not just to watch a footy game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I woke up to have a call with someone, but
in between calls, you might as well have an impact.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, oh man, like, I get so fired up. What are we doing? We're 44 minutes, right? And I think you've asked me two questions because we've gone on so many tangents.
Yeah, and this, people say, was there a script for your podcast? I'm like, have you listened to my podcast? I'm not showing up if there's a script.
Because if you have a script, it dovetails the talk, right? And it's all about conversation.
None I want this the spark of someone. Like, I don't want their crafted answer. It doesn't mean anything to me. That's not what they do. That's what they want people to think that they do. I want to know what drives them to do that. I want to know why they wake up every morning. Do you have, like, rituals to keep you in your game, or like when you fall off, like we were talking about, like the self-sabotage and the music? Like, what keeps you on track even on the crappy days?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of, like, internal thinking about this because, I see a lot of people talking about morning rituals. I see a lot of people talking about morning routines. And fucking spirituality and sitting there meditating and stuff. Like, I mean, I'm not that kind of guy yet or now, right now. Like, I'm not going to say yet because it might not be me, but, you know, I read Hal Elrod's Miracle Morning. I tried it and you know what? I can't sit there silent for 10 minutes. Mainly because I look around and go, shit, where, you know, can I have coffee yet?
Are we there yet?
Yeah, I do, right? You know, but I do try and keep some sort of routine in the morning. I at least try and get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, if I'm having a rough morning, I'll get up at 6:30, 7 o'clock. The first thing I do is splash water on my face. So that's something that I did pick up from his book, and something I have been doing is, first thing I do is run into the bathroom and just like cold water, as cold as it can be, just all over my face and my hair, and just try and like wake myself up. So I just go, oh, you know, I could go back to bed for half an hour.
Yeah.
So I just try and wake up. And then the next thing I do is have like a massive glass of water, probably 600 mils to a liter of water, and just try and, you know, hydrate my body. Right. And the next thing I do is just consume caffeine like it's on an IV.
And the day begins.
Exactly. Like, I try and do that before the kids get up. I have also been experimenting with journaling, mainly in the fact that I really want to document the change. And I say this in a point that I, for the longest time up to sort of maybe the last 6 weeks, I was sort of spinning my wheels, like, you know, what is James Chu going to be known for? And how am I going to make money? Right. I was always focused on making money. And I guess that sort of stems from the problem of, like, you know, you've got four kids to feed, you're the sole breadwinner of the house at the current moment, you're side hustling. And mind you, this is caveated to everyone who's listening. I don't do this full time. I do this part time. I get up in the morning and work a couple of hours, and I work until about 12 o'clock at night and do it all again the next day. Like, this isn't my full time gig. I don't make thousands and millions of dollars this year.
Yet.
I lose money.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I've been experimenting with journaling. I use an app on my phone called Day One.
Mm-hmm.
And I just try and jot down a couple of notes. You know, what did I do yesterday? Were there any sort of breakthroughs? Did I learn any major lessons? And I guess that's sort of maybe like a reflection thing, right? Like, the month of October for me is going to be the month of reflection. So you're going to see, if you come and check out my channel on YouTube, which I've sort of just moved to the name James Chu, and then we're going to have the Dad's Mission for Success show on Wednesdays and Sundays.
Oh, awesome.
And a couple other episodes on Wednesday and Fridays, Monday and Friday, sorry. If you come to that, you're going to see more of, like, October is going to be like the reflection month, right? Like, we're going to look back on your 2015. And my videos are really generalized in the fact that I want to touch people who aren't just entrepreneurs, because I think everyone has something to give, everyone has something to learn. And, you know, that's sort of for me. So, you know, I'm really trying to reflect myself. What have I done right this year? What have I done wrong? And I think I've done a lot of things right. I think I've done a lot of things wrong. But just documenting that. So, you know, one day if there's a publisher listening to this particular podcast, I'm pretty just interested
putting it in out there.
Yeah, right. Like, and I would rather have a paragraph from every single day to go back and sort of read, reflect on each year, print it out in PDF and just sort of bind it or whatever. And I can say, you know what, 2015 was a pretty good year for me. I sort of realized my why. I realized my purpose. I realized what, you know, who I'm serving. I'm serving 25 to 44 year olds who already understand that this internet marketing world, this internet online business world exists. And yeah, and that's sort of the ritual, right? And the rest of it's just sort of ad hoc. I don't work when the kids are awake. I try and be very present when the kids are up, because, you know, that's the whole why, right? Yeah. Like, what's the point of working 100 hours a week if the reason I wanted to start a business so I don't have to work 100 hours a week? So if the kids are awake, I tend not to work. The kids go to school, I work. Now, obviously, like a full-time job, I try and squeeze some stuff into my lunch break and that sort of stuff. And yeah, mostly in the morning, it's splash water on my face, drink some water, and just consume coffee.
Step into your day, not wait for the day to come to you.
Yeah. And I don't set priorities. I probably should set priorities the night before. I guess I'm sort of blessed with a pretty good memory, except when someone asked me to download an app to come onto a podcast. But yeah, like I sort of have I use Momentum in Chrome. It's actually a really, really good thing, and it sort of just helps bring the focus onto one thing. And I really just
try it has to good pictures too. I use
amazing them. Pictures, right? I just try and focus on winning one thing for the day. That's so awesome. I can look back at the end of the day and say I won one thing. Then yeah, that's cool.
That's awesome. Awesome. Are there any books? I know we talked about how it's not about consumption or watching.
Yeah.
But are there any books that kind of spark you up, or you nod the entire time you're reading, or someone that you follow that you just really connect to? I'm curious, like, if there's anyone, or you're just kind of a dabbler.
Yeah, I mean, all right. Like, book-wise, there's two books, The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield.
Good one.
Yeah, I've got it on my desk here. It's always on my desk, always flick through. I don't think I've actually read the entire book front, like cover to back. I think I just tend to flick and read paragraphs as I feel that I need to. I do have his Turning Pro, and I have just started reading it.
Yeah, it's good.
One of the things that I sort of set myself for the later half of 2015 was to sit down and read more, right? Like, and dedicate time to read more, because I feel like if I'm talking to people and I'm talking at people and I am mentoring people and I am giving advice to people, I need to be constantly learning myself.
Yes.
So, you know, for me at the moment, it's very YouTube focused.
Mm-hmm.
And something I really want to dabble in the future, and something I'm just by proxy looking at now, is really how can I create a video that evokes emotion? How can I get men, specifically men, right? I'm a very emotional guy. And I think that sort of stems from having women in my life, so many women in my life. But how can I get more men? How can I get more men to show their emotion and not just ball it up and not just say, you know what, fuck, that didn't work because, you know, this business, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's okay to be pissed off and upset.
You need to be pissed off and upset. It's called feeling. And then there's something after the pissed off and upset. People are afraid to go there, men especially, unfortunately.
Yeah, and, you know, that's something I really want to work with guys and especially new dads. I think new dads, you know, sometimes get a bad rap. But, so reading-wise for me, The War of Art, 100%. If you haven't got that book, if you haven't read that book, go and buy it right now. And I promise you, you'll never regret it.
That's awesome. And is there anyone, any entrepreneurs that you follow, anyone whose road you love or, you know, inspires you to keep going, someone out of the box that people may not know of?
Yeah, look, I've got a couple of people I reckon that pretty influence me in a really positive way. Most notably, maybe in the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks, you know, Keith Griffiths from the group,
best.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I never heard of him until I can't remember who invited me into his group. Keith did. Like, I connected with Keith on Facebook by proxy because we had like 7 mutual friends or something. He's like, you should join my group. I was like, yeah, all right, no worries, I'm in. And I knew nothing about the guy. And then, you know, we've interacted on Facebook. And then the other day, I asked him his opinion on my mission statement, what I do, right? And he goes, you know what, let's just jump on a Skype call. And Keith gave me an hour of his time. You know, he's a busy guy. He's got a lot of stuff on the go. Yeah, an hour of his time. And we talked through amazing stuff. And I just realized that, you know, and this is what I was trying to, you know, Keith and I really discussed quite heavily, is the fact that relationships aren't face-to-face. Relationships don't need to be face-to-face. Relationships need to be born on a mutual respect and need to be born on a common goal. And the common goal for a lot of the people that I connect with and a lot of the entrepreneurs, and why I sort of follow a lot of different people, is because we all have a common goal of having the most ideal life that we possibly can and the most, you know, abundant life that we possibly can. And so Keith and I connected for an hour, and that's why I made that video that I released in his group, which is all about just singing in praise of this guy, because, you know, he just gave me his hour, like an hour of his time, right? Someone else I follow is a very, very good friend of mine, and she is an absolute ball buster. Her name is Lauren Hayes, and she would be an amazing person to have on your podcast as well. Cool. So
I'm going
to
look her up. Yeah.
Yeah. So she runs a ladies coaching group called Moxie Women. And she is just so inspiring. And if you get in a room with Lauren, you will just, I can't explain it, right? Don't even bring excuses. Don't even think about offering your excuses. I spoke to her today and she's like, what's your bank balance like? And I was like, oh, like, I haven't made any
I have a bad connection. I got to go.
Yeah. And he's like, next time we speak, you better have a decent bank balance. I was like, oh, you know, like, and some people might find that abrasive. But that, you know, that to me is just like her going, you know, stop giving your shit away for free, man. Yeah. Like, you have a story, you have things. And so, yeah, she's an amazing woman. I always follow what she does. She's got a lot of success coming her way. She's already had a lot of success. And, you know, I connected with her via her partner. And we were training at the gym for a while together. And, yeah. So they're really, I mean, they're just two, right? I have a list of people that I follow and a list of people I continue connecting with. And if someone takes anything away from this sort of thing, is connect with as many people as you can and don't ask them for something.
Yes.
Ask them what you can do for them. Have they got a product that they're promoting? Have they got a service they're promoting? Promote it for them. Say, no worries, I'm going to send a tweet to my 400 followers. Who gives a shit if it's 400 followers or 400,000? The gesture is still the same.
Yes, and it's an equal exchange when it comes from a place of authenticity as opposed to just kissing someone's ass.
Yeah.
Everyone at every level can tell whether you believe in energy woo-woo crap or not. You can just tell when you want to move closer to someone or when they creep you out. It's just a fact. And if you're a creepy stalker, there's a reason people don't want to come closer. If it's about, I mean, most people who are in this arena are looking to impact people. So if you show up and say you impacted me, there's no better response that someone can get. They're going to be open to having you a part of their world in some way.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. I have two last questions. First off, I'll put all the things in the show notes, but how can people learn more about you, be part of what you're doing? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah. All right. So another challenge for everyone. And, you know, I'm a big believer in challenging people and challenging, you know, common sort of beliefs and that sort of stuff. I challenge you to send me a video message. You know, my email is hello@jameschu.me. I'm, you know, more than happy for you, anyone to email me, but I challenge anyone who's listening to this podcast who wants to get my attention, put in the subject line video and just record something. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be amazing. Record on your freaking iPhone or on your webcam, on your computer. Record me a message and just say, hey, James, I saw you on the podcast. And you know, that's a challenge, right? Because that puts people out of their comfort zone immediately.
Yeah.
So email me, hello@jameschu.me. You know what? And another thing I'm sort of experimenting with is not, you know, writing on my personal blog because I think I'm stretching myself too thin. So mainly you can find me hanging out on Twitter @James_Chu on Twitter, or just look James Chu up on YouTube and you'll find me there. And you can help you by getting to 100,000 subscribers by the end of next year. And yeah, that's really where you can find me. And like I said, if you accept my challenge before and you send me the things that you found that people are whinging about in your particular industry, I will give you half an hour of my time to, and any, you know, I'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and spend half an hour with you. I don't care what time it is. And we will work through how you can build something that you will look back on at age 60, at age 70 and be super proud of.
Love, love, love. It was such an honor to have you on. I'm honored to have you in my world. I can't wait to be part of what you do, watch you grow with you. Thank you. And you know, you really, I gotta say, Adrian may have an equal, I can't put one over the other, but I'm gonna say, I think I have to get two trophies. This was good shit. This was really
good. I'll take it.
One last question because I have to. Death row meal. What would be the best meal on earth?
Pork belly with like slow roasted potatoes that have been like roasted in duck fat. And
I love how the answer is on the tip of your tongue.
You know, someone asked me, Douglas Lim, who asked me for his podcast a couple of weeks ago. He was like, you know, what's your favorite meal? I was like, pork belly. Yeah, 100%.
And what would the drink be?
Oh, shit. Oh, I don't know. I reckon a good quality craft beer that I haven't ever had before, but was super highly recommended because, you know, Shari thought it was amazing. You know,
interesting. Super high quality
craft beer. Yeah.
And dessert?
Dessert. Yeah, to be honest, I'm not a massive dessert fan. However, I am. Do you know what like a what a pavlova is?
Yes, love them.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a little, you know, like a little slit, not
a little
too
sweet
much.
Little light thing to finish off your life.
Yeah, not too much, right? Because it's a pretty heavy belly from the pork belly and the craft.
Dude, you're dying. It's all good. It's your last meal. You can be bloated.
Shit, yeah. Just give me the whole thing.
I'll like all throw of my the head in it. All like, in the world.
I'll throw my head in it like a dog and just like, ah, eat that up.
Thank you so much, James. This was amazing. Totally amazing.
Anytime.
Thanks so much. Thanks for listening to the Creative Soul Lab with Shari D. Teagman. To learn more about finding your spark and lighting up your life and biz with Shari, come in and join the fun at shariteagman.com.